choosing your place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you have to answer to. Whoa, the guns of Brixton. The money feels good.
We're back.
Your life, you like it well.
It's about 10 minutes into hour three, the morning flying by, as we kind of figured it would. First the show for the 2023 season, and maybe it was kismet that Lynn Cash, we could not seem to connect, as he was enjoying a fabulous year. And while I was calling him about, you know, graded stake placements and a win, meanwhile, kind of under the radar, here was the claimer running in $5,000 starter allowances that was piling up wins. And by the time the calendar got torn off the page, on Sunday, here was Beverly Park with 15 wins in 2022, 30 starts. As I've said this morning a few times, 21 wins in 37 starts since he came back from 8 months off when Dane Kubiski had him. And joined now by Lynn Cash. Lynn, happy new year. Congratulations on not just Beverly Park, but really a great year overall.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a good year. It had an exciting year, fun year.
this horse is winning, you know, hearts and minds, as they say. And, you know, people wring their hands about three-year-olds leaving too early and going to the shed. Here's a horse that basically has been, you know, trotted out every 17 days. And you picked him up for 12.5.
Yeah, he was, yeah, it was, you know, the claim of a lifetime, maybe even the horse of a lifetime. I hope not, but again, could be the horse of a lifetime. Yeah, he was, you know, and part of it is that he's just so healthy. You know, he's just so healthy.
Before we talk about picking him out and plunking down the 12.5, let's talk about you and you getting involved in racing, because you're a fun story. You know, the horses notwithstanding, one of these trainers that obviously you had the bug, and in the meantime you had a business that you were running. I mean, talk about even, you know, getting involved in the game.
The first time, my other business, and it's still ran by my three sons, is Bill Wright Homes and Roofing, which is a storm chasing roofing company. And so when a hailstorm hits and damages all the roofs and the siding and the gutter, my company goes, and we've got salesmen that work for us, and we go and we actually set up an office in whatever town that is that we work in. When we've mainly worked out west where we lived 8 or 10 years ago. Anyway, when we first got involved with this, we were working in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we got out there right at the end of April. And I called my wife and I said, wow, this is too cool. We're close. If we could drive to the Kentucky Derby, it's next week. And that was the year that, Animal Kingdom won. And so we went to that Derby, and we kind of caught the bug. I'd been a fan of horse racing, even though, was not raised in horse racing. I was raised in New Mexico. And so the following year, we actually had nice tickets to the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And that was the year that I'll have another one. And it came out that I'll have another with purchased at auction, for $35,000. And I tell my wife, it's like, we should buy a racehorse. We can do that. And so we decided we went down to the Ocala June sale. We ended up buying three, but as I was, I remember the anxiety. I wanted to do it, but I didn't know how, because I was a contractor. I didn't know how to do this. And I had a little bit of anxiety, and I ended up calling, Mike McMahon, who is the Buzzstock agent that I ended up using to help me buy these. Before I called him, I just knew in my mind that when I made the phone call, whoever answered was going to say, who are you? What are you doing? Call me. Don't go away. And then they were going to be like that. Little did I know that it was kind of like when a guy shows up at the poker game that don't know how to play poker, but he's got a bunch of money in his hand. Everybody's willing to show him how to play poker and to teach him this game. And so Mike McMahon helped us, and Jamie Hill, they helped us buy our first thoroughbreds, which were three of them. And those three kind of put the bug in us. And I tell you, when you get bit by this horse racing bug, you really get bit harder. I did. And then off and on, we had horses, depending on how good the year was with the roofing company. If we had discretionary money, we would have a couple of horses we'd buy at auction, and on poorer years, we wouldn't have horses. And so after about 8 or 9 years, I told my wife Lola, I says, you know, I think I could make a living in this business with a couple of small changes. We need to just turn this. I think I've taken a large enough education in this business, and with a couple of small changes, I think we could make a living doing this. And so we decided to kind of jump in and see if we could make a living doing this. This is how I wanted to make my living. And so, knock on wood, so far things are going well.
To say the least. I something pops in my head as I listen to you about the storm chasing and doing what you do with the roofing. Do you know the Schenverts? Brian Schenvert and his father, and they're in Minnesota or Wisconsin? I think Minnesota. Their company is called Dent Impressions. And
did you say Dent Impressions?
Dent, D-E-N-T.
Okay.
Hailstorm. So they do the exact same thing you do with autos. They go, like, I've seen them in Louisville. You absolutely, I'll send you Brian's number. You guys should be working in tandem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. It's kind of the exact same thing with, we do with homes, but they do with autos.
We're going to make, as we say in Yiddish, a shidduch. We're going to put together the caches and the Schenverts, and because it absolutely, there's got to be some common management and execution elements. And he's a tremendous handicapper. He and his dad, you know, they're big time contest players. So I see a future here.
Good.
let's get into the, you know, you're buying horses, but yet you were willing to do some claiming as well, and then explain how you've, in terms of hands-on, in terms of running a shed row, how did you explain that learning curve?
Well, as we started, that was one of the changes that we made. We stopped buying at auction and we started claiming horses. And we thought, you know, we'd get a few horses claimed and see how that goes. As it turns out, a gentleman that I knew, for starters, when I went to get, licensed, COVID had hit, as to change from being an owner to a trainer, COVID had hit. So I was only able to get my assistant trainer's license. And so I was an assistant to Kellen Gorder, who was sure. The trainer that I had for those 7 or 8 years when we had the horses. And of course, he assigned me back the 4 horses that I owned. And so for that year, when COVID was shutting the country down, every morning I was there, every day I was there at the barn, basically working as a groom. Trying to pick up some of the horsemanship side which I lacked at the time and possibly still even lack just a little bit as far as the horsemanship. And so for that year, like I said, I was at the barn every day. And so then the following year, I actually got my license, my trainer's license, and we started claiming horses, and we went. Oh, we started claiming horses, and we started with 6 stalls in the barn, and 2 weeks later we were asking Keeneman for another 6 stalls, and then we went to another training facility where we had 24 stalls, and we just kept claiming horses and putting them right back in, and I don't know that I was sure that the system worked, but I had faith that as long as I kept doing what I thought would work, that eventually it would work. You know, sometimes in our roofing business, you know, sometimes as you're going through things and you just know that it's going to work out in the end, but for, you know, 90% of the storm, your account's broke because as fast as this comes in, it goes right back out. And so we kind of got into that thing. I used to have to reassure my wife because she would, my wife Lola should get in and look at our accounts and should, you know, give me the old evil eye and say, what's going on here, honey? We can't go on like this. And I'd have to explain to her that the money's not in the accounts, but the assets are there. I said, and so I would go to the car lot, story all the time and I'd say, Lola, think of this as a big car lot. If we don't put any cars on the lot, we can't sell no cars. And so we just got to put the cars in the lot. Whether we have the cash in the bank for that car or whether we have that car, it's still worth the same amount. These are good claims. And so finally, I had to explain that 5 or 6 times to her through that first year. But then finally, she kind of got completely on board and realized that things were moving in a good direction. I'd sit down every month with her and do a quick accounting. I'd tally up what the horses were worth, what the purse money is in, and you would just do a quick 10-minute tally to make sure that we were still on solid ground. And so that was about a year and a half ago is when that started.
Well, and that's about the same time that Beverly Park catches your eye, and part of your story, and part of the Beverly Park story, and we'll get to Double Crown as well, but part of the story here is the different places that you've been running, and so you have to be in the right place at the right time to even see this horse.
Yeah, Beverly Park. I noticed the horse because Beverly Park won by 15 and a half lengths that day when he ran for in a $5,000 claimer for winners of non-2. And so I pinged him on my phone so that the next time something happened with him, it would email me. And 2-3 weeks later, I got a ping and he was entered in a 12-5 non-3. And I couldn't imagine that they were going to run him there. But again, I did. I loaded the trailer, did my due diligence, and drove to Belterra, which was about an hour away. And I went by there and an hour before the race, they still haven't scratched him. And so, I realized they were going to run him and I dropped a claim on him. And as the guy that collects the claims from the box comes by, he says, "Well, as soon as that gate opens of the race, he's yours because you're the only one in the box." And so we didn't have to shake for him that day, which I was hoping would win the shake. Well, I guess we did because there wasn't one.
Amazing.
And he won that day by about 5.5. He went on with those two that he won for Mr. Kubisky. He won 6 more for us, and in that run, and then he had an eight race win streak, and then he lost the ninth, going for his ninth win at Churchill in a 2 other than allowance. He got beat by about a neck so he ran second by about a neck, and so that kind of stopped the win streak. And then I think he won one more that year too down at Oaklawn. And so again, he was running. The horse has talent. I just happened to latch on to him and grab him as he went by. And he was a great horse. With or without me, he was a great horse. I think sometimes we compliment each other because I don't mind getting in the truck and driving to find a good spot for the horses at different tracks. And you probably notice he's ran at a lot of tracks.
Absolutely.
This year. And, some of that is some of that is out of necessity, though, because he is such a very tough starter 5 horse. When he runs at a track a time or two, sometimes the race doesn't make the next time. And so sometimes if I'd stay right here, the race would stop making because horses sometimes don't want to compete against him at that starter 5 level. And so it's out of necessity. I've had to get on the road and get him to find him spots to run at.
Well, one thing that's done, Lynn Cash is with us talking about Beverly Park, not just Beverly Park, because Lynn also won a graded stake last year with Double Crown. So it's been a banner year for a lot of reasons, but this horse winning $300,000 last year in 30 starts. So, averaging 10,000 in earnings per start and racking up wins. I'll run through the venues again. Fairgrounds, Mahoning Valley, Charlestown, Churchill Downs, Timonium, which is great. Thistledown, Churchill, Belterra, a little bit more at Chucktown, back to Mahoning Valley. Laurel got into the act as well. And before this year on the calendar side, last year in the fall, twice at Keeneland, back to back. And that was actually when he first started to get noticed. Was at the end of that 8-race win streak when you know he did win a starter for 20, and then went to Churchill, and he won a money allowance as well.
Yeah, well, that's when, you know, when he first, I recognized that he had a lot of talent. 3 days after I had him, I was like, wow, this horse is really talented. And I was thinking, wow, I've really been blessed with this horse. And but that's when, you know, when we first came to Keeneland, it was in a starter 10 for horses that hadn't won. For horses that have started for 10,000 the last 5 starts. And so, we saved that race for Keeneland and we didn't go off as a favorite that day, I don't think, because I think people discounted some of the tracks that he ran at. And so then he won that race. And then the next race was a starter 20, the same condition, but a starter 20. And he won that race. And, then after that, we were at Churchill in the 1X. And even then, it seemed like they discounted the races that we ran at Keeneland, because those were only starter races; those weren't allowance races. And so, eventually, people realized that he's a really talented horse, you know. We've ran him where we could find spots for it, and he's really become kind of a fan favorite. You know, when we were we took him down to Fairgrounds on the 31st of December, and as he was coming down the lane, he was out 3 or 4, 5 lengths ahead of everybody, and the whole crowd was cheering Beverly Park's name. You know, I don't know that I'm a fan favorite, but I do realize that Beverly Park is a fan favorite. I think people have different emotions. People have different thoughts about different trainers. And so, you know, like I said, I don't know that I am a fan favorite, but I do know that he is.
Well, and there's a couple of things that we got to include in here. And you made reference to the fact that he's a Munnings. We should also note he is not a gelding. He is a whole horse, and he was purchased, to be a nice horse. This was a $220,000 Keeneland September yearling, hip 146. So he was in book one as a Keeneland yearling, and it's amazing that nobody else was watching for him. And you know, PTK is a big operation, and you know, he looked like, you know, a horse that wasn't going to be a stake horse. So, you know, you move on. I get that. But, you know, for this situation to then unfold, part of the element of this is you don't, I don't want to say you don't have the background, Lynn, to, you know, to know to be able to run this horse every 3 weeks and for him to start 30 times. I mean, he's obviously telling you that, and you obviously fed off of his, you know, the way he acts. He has not run a bad race virtually since the synthetic try at Turfway. Put a line through that, and he's never been out of the superfecta for you.
Right. Yeah. He did not like to compete a track. He backed right out of there. He leaves it out there every time. But when I was dropping the claim and I saw that he was a $220,000 yearling, that kind of takes all the doubts out of what does he really look like? What does physique look like? Because a horse that sells for $220, that's a good looking yearling. You know, that's you know he's proportioned right. He's you know everything looks nice, and he's going to be a beautiful horse, and he absolutely is. You know, and he is still a horse, And I've had a couple of phone calls from a guy in Ohio that thought maybe he could stand up in Ohio. But at the very least, I'll probably take my nine mares to him when his racing career is over.
And there's no timetable for that, clearly. What? Yeah, I should also mention, from a jockey standpoint, because of the diversity of venues, you haven't necessarily, I suppose Juan Acosta has been on them as much as anybody, but pretty much he runs for everybody.
He's. I don't know how many jockeys have won on him, but I would venture to say probably 8 or 10. He runs. He's just a runner. He's just a runner. He has a lot of talent, especially at the starter five level. At the starter five level, he's very, very, very talented. For that level, and so again, he's usually the favorite, and he's usually the horse to beat, and that's fun. That's fun in itself, just going to the races and getting wins. It's just as exciting. Every race he wins is just as exciting as the first race.
What do you think? I mean, you're eligible, obviously, for plenty yet to come. What is his eligibility status on the starter side?
Well, about half of the tracks stop riding it where he's eligible, like Mahoning Valley, where he's ran some. They write theirs for, like last year it was written for horses that have started for 5,000 or less in 21 and 22. And so now, January 1, it goes to 22-23, which means he's not eligible there.
Okay.
But there are three or four tracks that write it back right up to the day. So to write to the day that say horses that have run for 5,000 or less since January 4th, 2021. So tracks like that, which there's three or four of them, we'll be able to run right up. We'll be able to stay in starters for the next 6 months. They may be a little harder to find, a little harder to make, but we'll be able to run in those. And then after that, he's got his 2X condition, and a 3X condition. And at some point, the horses deserved a shot to take a swing at some small stakes.
Sure.
Sometimes up in New York, they have very short fields. In grade threes, and that's kind of what I thought is, he deserves at least a swing at it. Once that happens and we get out of the starter races, we'll lengthen his days out between races a little bit. We'll tighten him up, so that he can leave out there 100% of what he has. Sometimes when you're running on shorter rest, you're only getting 96 or 94 or 98% of what the horse is capable of because of the shorter rest periods.
Well, speaking of New York and taking some shots and stakes, let's fold in to this discussion. Yeah, let's fold in Double Crown and what went on with Double Crown. That's also part of the Lynn Cash story last year.
Well, I'll tell you it. That was the Kelso, and he was 42-1 that day. No one was more surprised than I. We 7 days earlier with Double Crown, we had ran him in the Maryland Millions Classic. For accredited Maryland breds, I was kind of a little disappointed because we didn't get a good trip. Looks like he never kind of got out of the traffic. It was a full field, and he just never got in the clear. So we felt like we had a fresh horse, and so when we found out that the the Kelso, the Kelso that day ran with five horses, and two of them were mine.
Yep.
I had Jalen Journey and Double Crown him, and when I went with a small field, it's like, well, yeah, let's throw him in, if he runs dead last, it's a $10,000 profit if he ran dead last. You know, we didn't put him in to run dead last, but sometimes it comes down to things like that. When you don't have owners, you have to get the purse money to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so we loaded. I also had two horses. Well, no, that might not have been the week of the Vosburgh. No, that was. I also had Eastern Bay that was running in the Grade Three that day that we missed by a nose that day.
That's right.
A race or two later.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't remember what race that was. The Bull Ruler, maybe.
That sounds right.
I already had a van going, and so it's like, you know what? Let's. I know it's on short rest, but let's put them in there, and it just kind of that race is, you know, it's my wife and I wasn't at that race. My wife, a real close uncle of hers, had passed, and we were in Utah at a funeral, and we got out of this. Please don't. This kind of sounds bad, but we got out of the funeral, and when we got to the car, there was about 2 minutes until post of the Kelso, and so we got the iPad up, and we were watching this, and my wife didn't realize that this was a graded stakes race, and as the fractions are coming up in this part of the country, in Kentucky, you know, 24 seconds and 48 seconds, those aren't fast fractions. And so I don't realize how fast on the aqueduct surface those fractions are, but you had Baby Yoda that was out there that didn't make the lead, and he always makes the lead, and there's a couple others. And then as they're coming down the lane, it's like, wow, I started to realize those must have been really fast fractions because we're the only one closing. and it's like, we could run second. I'm calculating how much purse money that is. We run second. It's like, holy cow, we're going to win this thing. And so my wife and I are yelling. We get out of the car and we're walking around and people that and family members that are over there, or we must have looked like we were crazy. We were high fiving each other and yelling in the church parking lot and this and that. And some family members came over. We said, oh my gosh, we want to do two.
I don't mean to laugh, but how do you not laugh? It's hysterical.
And then an hour later, I think it was two races later, Eastern Bay, you know, 50 feet out.
Yep.
I would have swore we were a winner.
Yep.
And then the horse come back, just right back on us. We missed it probably by 3 or 4 inches, I would bet.
Well, that was John Toscano. That was that tough, that running son of a gun who's so tough.
But wow, what a day.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the Vosburgh that Eastern Bay ran in. You got beat, a handful of lengths, I think five lengths, to the Breeders' Cup winner, Elite Power. You ran into when he was getting good.
Well, and you know, hindsight's always 20/20, of course. But again, you know, Eastern Bay, that was the Vosburgh was seven furlongs, which isn't Eastern Bay's best game. You know, it was hindsight with the horse that beat us, because at six furlongs, we weren't beat five lengths. At six furlongs, we were a length and a half. Or as a matter of fact, somewhere at six furlongs, we were coming. But hindsight's always 20/20. I probably would have pushed to the Breeders' Cup, except, man, to pony up the money to supplement into the Breeders' Cup, it's quite expensive. And so I decided to did not do that. But yeah, he ran well at the Vosburgh too, Eastern Bay.
Well, he was another daring claim. You took him off one of the sharpest outfits in the claiming game in Bob Bone for $35,000. You took him at Laurel, and he had basically been running the same. He's basically running the same kinds of high 80s, low 90 figs. Although he ran a 97 in the Bold Ruler, which I think was his career best. But anyway, you really have plucked some terrific claims. I mean, Double Crown, obviously, and then the whole story with Beverly Park. And I'm going to do some pedigree work tomorrow with Sid Fernando, because Beverly Park has got a very interesting family story going back. There's Claiborne blood in here, and Willard Proctor, and in fact, that dam was a very good horse up in Canada at Hastings, and yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to like. I mean, Lynn, I do have to ask you, because I do have to get Aaron Halliwell on to talk about the TCA auction, but I do want to ask about the horse that's running on Thursday, because you could contribute Vassariano, big carryover on Thursday at Aqueduct. And what do we think about Vassariano on Thursday?
Yeah, Vosburgh, you know, he's won at his three wins were at Ohio tracks.
Yeah.
The three allowance wins, which, because the purse is less, it allows us to still be in a one other than there. I think at times bettors don't give the tracks that much credit. But I've started doing some of this where I take a horse like last weekend I had Pirate Rick who had an allowance win at Mountaineer and Mahoning.
Yeah.
And he wired the field at 15-1. And so, you know, sometimes I call it burning a condition. I'll take a horse and maybe burn a condition where I can still save that condition back at Aqueduct and Vassariano, I believe it's a mile and 3/16, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yeah. No, I like the spot. I know, I thought he ran okay at that mile he ran, but the longer the better for him. I do feel he's live. I haven't seen the odds yet if they're out.
I got it right here. He's 8-1.
He doing? Yeah, that's reasonable. I like this spot because he runs. Yeah, he runs forever. And he's really come on too. If you look at him in the last, the last two, three starts, he's really, really moved forward. And granted, it is at a smaller track, but I don't gamble on horses anymore, but if I was playing, I would use him.
You'd be using him to start the thing. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the first leg of the carryover sequence. And because we do love doing this for the audience, you got two in today in Philadelphia. You got Homeschool in the maiden claiming first and Gigging in the starter third.
Yeah, Gigging is scratched.
Okay.
Homeschool, I'm kind of expecting a win. As a matter of fact, it goes off in about 5 minutes here, I believe.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I like the spot for Homeschool.
And then let's ask about Mahoning as well on Thursday. You got a pair of allowance runners back-to-back in the sixth and the seventh with Jan Avilis, who has ridden Beverly Park. Maximum Impact in the sixth and Motigalli, who I've bet on in the past, Moda Galley. He's got to be about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, you know, he didn't run. Moda Galley didn't run well last time up there. I'm hoping it was, but it was a real sloppy track. I'm hoping that's what it was. I think we're medium live with both of those. Yeah, I think they're both are good spots.
Excellent. And finally, Laurel. As well, you're all over the place on Friday in a starter, Other Things Equal with William Humphrey.
William Humphrey's not a bug rider, so we don't get to wave to him anymore. Other Things Equal, again, he's Yeah, he's probably only mildly live. Right. I would put him.
All right. This feels like honest assessments for the first go-around with Lynn Cash. Lynn, delighted for all the success last year. And I'll send you Brian Schenvert's number because you guys are going to hook up and do some business together. And continued success. Beverly Park is going to be a fan favorite everywhere he goes in 23 as well.
Thank you. I appreciated you having me on. Loved everything about this interview. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Lynn Cash, everybody. There you go. And you see Lynn's name as Norman Cash, but it's Lynn. And that's the differentiate from the great Tiger second baseman. So that you don't all right, you got to be a certain age to remember Norm Cash. As we reach for Aaron Hallowell, it makes me think of a great story. Coming back, I went with a couple of my teachers at Watkinson, Dave Buck and the late Jack Chatfield, and we went up to the Red Sox, see a Red Sox game. And I remember Norm Cash came up, and either Dave or Jack couldn't remember his name, and one of them said, "You mean Norm Cash?" I said, "Are you sure you don't mean Don Money?" That's an old time infielder joke. Norm Cash, Don Money. Speaking of money, Aaron Hallowell is standing by. It's not the first day of the At the Races broadcast season without an Aaron Hallowell visit.
Well, thank you for having me once again, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Now everybody can officially, you know, set the calendar. You know it's a new year because the Thoroughbred Charities of America stallion season auction is upon us. It begins tomorrow morning. It runs through Friday, and then, of course, there's the live auction as well. Let's lay out what we've got because the flight line season is going to guarantee a lot of attention.
That's for sure. Yeah, we like to start the year off with a bang, for sure. It's our largest annual fundraiser, and it's the 33rd annual. Hard to believe that many years, and I've been here for a lot of them. 33rd annual TCA Stallion Season Auction. And as you mentioned, starts tomorrow with the online auction. So you can peruse a online listing of almost 200 seasons from 15 states in Canada that will sell in the online portion of the auction. Starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow and runs through Friday afternoon. The endings will be staggered, starting at about 4:30 p.m. And just an incredible lineup of online seasons. And then certainly on Sunday, we roll right into the live auction, which is always very exciting. And headlines this year by Flightline. We have a season to Flightline, as well as eight other incredible seasons, select seasons there, including Constitution, Good Magic, Maxfield, Not This Time, Nashville, Nyquist, Olympiad, and Quality Road. I mean, pretty amazing lineup, right?
Wow. Well, and we should mention, I mean, obviously the online portion of this, tomorrow through Friday, the online side of things. But then when it comes to Sunday, there's also all kinds of nice memorabilia and artwork and those kinds of things people can bid on as well, no?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Concurrently with the stallion seasons, we are having a kind of a separate auction, if you will, of non-season items. And we've got an awesome sort of selection there this year, including a meet and greet with Flightline. So if we have any Flightline fans, you know, either breeders or you just want to meet them in person, that is an opportunity available there for online bidding in the live auction. Great opportunity there to meet Flightline at Lane's End, have a tour of the farm. We certainly appreciate that support. We have some of the more interesting items we have this year, a Keeneland race course eighth pole. So literally the eighth pole painted green and white, that was in at the Keeneland racetrack. You can enter your bids on that, really cool item. We've got, you know, trips and tickets, triple crown ticket package, an oceanfront condo in St. Thomas, a week at a beach house in Crystal River, Florida, John Deere mower. We've got some really, really great stuff. Stallion halters, Gunrunner, Tappet. There's a couple more in there. Some nice artwork. There's quite a few items to choose from. So we certainly, you know, like to have a little bit of everything for everybody, and, you know, are looking forward to another fantastic event. And I do have to give a quick shout out to our wonderful event sponsors. This year, the auction is presented by Mount Brilliant Farm, Mount Brilliant Family Foundation, actually. And we certainly appreciate their support, as well as Bourbon Lane Stable Retirement Fund, Limestone Bank, Coolmore America, the Equine Medical Associates, Top Line Sales, Equine Medical Center of Ocala, and LV Harkness.
I'm glad you went through that. And I do want to also mention, are tickets still available for Sunday night?
They sure are. Yes. You can purchase tickets on our website, and that's tca.org. You can jump on over there, purchase some individual tickets, or we also sell reserved tables for eight. So tickets are still available, but going fast.
Sunday night, 5:30 it starts. It's at the Grand Reserve on Manchester Street in Lexington, and cocktail hors d'oeuvres, music, etc., the live auction, the silent auction items as well. And we should also, as part of this, as we always do, Aaron, remind everybody the mission of TCA and what this, you know, biggest fundraiser of the year, where the money goes.
Sure. Thank you. So TCA, we are a grant making organization. We're 33 years old. And what we do is we essentially raise as much money as we can throughout the year. And then once a year via grant application process, we distribute our funds via grants to approved charities, working in not only thoroughbred aftercare, but also on the health and human side of our industry. So in addition to the aftercare charities that we support, we also support organizations that are working to provide necessary services to backstretch and farm workers. So TCA is very unique in that we serve both sides of our industry, not only the thoroughbreds, but also the people who are caring for them. It's very, very important to us to, you know, kind of take that holistic approach. Last year, we granted over $783,000 to 74 charities across the country. So certainly this stallion season auction makes those grants possible. So we certainly appreciate the support of our donors. And then, of course, the buyers in the auction make it all possible.
Well, and for those that are going to, if you've never checked out, I should say, the auction, start at tca.org. You've got links to both the main auction, which starts tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, goes through Friday, and then, of course, the link to all the happenings on Sunday night, the gala. Go through the auctions, because there's regional stallions. This is hard. I mean, by all means, almost 200 stallion seasons. Virtually every breeding jurisdiction is represented. California, Florida, New York, Maryland, you name it, Virginia. Obviously, I mean, Kentucky. So 185, actually, 185 different seasons available, and every well-known or even lesser-known stallion is available. So you'll be shocked on Friday afternoon. Every year you go through, and there's value to be gleaned, and opportunity to snatch a season for, you know, under the market price. And what's the difference? It's going to a great cause. When it comes to Thoroughbred Charities of America, Aaron Hallowell, I'll remind everybody as the week unfolds. Thanks as always.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
Aaron Hallowell and TCA, TCA.org. You can follow TCA as well on Twitter, TB Charities. And I don't think Aaron's got a, I don't think she's got a Twitter, actually. I think she just handles the TCA account. Well, this was obviously a rocket sled on rails. Aaron Hallowell, TCA, Lynn Cash, Beverly Park and Moore, and Gary Young, Amr Zidane, and Taba and company, and Mig, Leo Powell as well, to start us off this morning, as well as Brad Cox. Day one of, what do we do, 220, I think, something like that, right? 240, give or take. 220, I think, is the number. 220 shows a year. Book one, in the books. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9 here on SiriusXM. Later on the archive and the podcast, etc. Back with you tomorrow, Andy Serling, Dick Powell, Sid Fernando, probably Nick Tamaro, and Seth Merrow, and more. Trainer or two as well. Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year.
Racing fans, don't miss Breeders' Cup Challenge Weekend.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start. The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.